I'm now going to speak to Rob Beale, Managing Partner of Morris Owen. The budget from Rachel Reeves, the first female Labour Chancellor, was publicised last week. So we now know what this budget that's been speculated about for such a long time is all about. And I'm now going to ask Rob now for his reaction. So Rob, talk us through, if you would, the key points from what you picked up from the budget last Wednesday.
I guess the key points, and I think you're right, was everyone's been waiting for it for such a long period of time. There was so much sort of previewed as well. The key points were the changes to national insurance, the changes to capital gains tax, the changes to inheritance tax, and then also amendments to stamp duty, land tax and things like that. You know, the budget was two halves. Part of it was raising taxes, significant increase in taxes, and then secondly, it was a massive increase in borrowing as well in order to finance spending.
Yeah, it was billed as a budget that she didn't really want to do. She said, you know, and it was a once in a lifetime. So they're trying to politically position it in a certain way. Let's talk about some of those specifics. So NI, that's the headline, really, isn't it? NI, yes. Contribution. For employers. So what does that actually mean to a businessman then, Rob? Lay that out.
So basically, employers' national insurance is a tax on employing people. And effectively what they did was they hit it in three ways. First of all, the amount someone can be paid before national insurance needs to be paid was almost halved. So all of a sudden you're paying national insurance on a much lower starting base. And then they actually increased the rate of employers' national insurance by 1.2% as well. So those were the two very much to increase the tax take as a result of it. And then the third thing they did was there is an employer's allowance to mitigate the cost of national insurance for smaller businesses. So they increased that somewhat. So for very small businesses that don't employ massive numbers of people, it took some of the sting out, if not all of the sting out. I guess the other thing linked to the national insurance increase is quite a significant increase in the national minimum wage, national living wage. And therefore, what we're seeing is more people are going to be put into the scope of national insurance and tax as a result of it.
Yeah. And that's effective from April?
Yes.
Yeah.
And this is just an increased on cost of employing people.
Yeah. What do you think, from your perspective? Is that a clever way to raise money, or is it a way that might actually damage businesses? We'll talk more about the bigger picture in growth later, but what do you think in summary of this particular point? Was it a good thing to do, a clever tactic, or actually it might backfire?
I think there's two problems with it personally. The first thing is that, okay, if you start with the premise that nobody particularly wants to pay much more tax, if you pay tax on profits, if a business has to increase the tax it's paying on profits, at least it's making those profits in order to pay tax. This is a tax on employment costs and therefore is nothing to do with a business's profitability. And as a result of that, I think that linked to the increase in the national minimum wage is going to make some businesses seriously struggle, and it's going to be sectorial. You know, hospitality and leisure sectors, they're going to be really hit because they're heavily labour dependent. They're going to find their wage bill going up as a result of this, both from the national minimum wage increase and from the employee national insurance increase. The second thing, which we've seen touted, and it, to be honest, was an immediate reaction, well, if your cost of employing people goes up overnight, that's going to be reflected in wage settlements and wage increases in the future. So is it clever? Well, you can stand there and say, in our manifesto, we said we weren't going to raise on working people national insurance. Yeah, but what you've probably done is reduce the level of pay rises people can get as a result.
Yeah, yeah. No, good summary. Thanks, Rob. Rob, and then in respect of capital gains tax was the second one you mentioned there. So that was the other, that was the item that I think more was feared prior to the budget. But just tell us what the Chancellor announced in terms of capital gains tax, and then we'll just talk about the impact of that.
So effectively, they changed two things. First of all, they increased rates of capital gains tax by 8% for basic rate taxpayers and by 4% for higher rate taxpayers. And then the other thing that they did is one of the reliefs that's available for people that are running businesses, they changed the rate of tax if you qualified for that tax relief. So effectively, it's just increasing the tax take. But as you say, I think a lot of people were fearing that it was going to be significantly worse. And therefore, whilst it hurts a bit, and certainly for basic rate taxpayers, it's going to hurt a lot more than perhaps for higher rate taxpayers, it's not as bad as it could have been.
Yeah. And is it property is exempt from that, but it's just share portfolios? Is that, in terms of the increase, is that correct?
No, it's across the board. Well, residential property, the rates are staying the same.
Yeah.
Because effectively, capital gains tax rates have been uplifted to the old property rates, if you like, second property rates. So from that point of view, there's no change there. It's other places the change kicks in.
Yeah. And the other thing that kind of relates to that is the pension tax now, isn't it? So that when pension funds, when you die, your pension fund from a certain date, 2027, I think it is, becomes part of your estate. That's the other kind of one that seems to relate to that, I thought.
Well, I think from an inheritance tax, there was two big changes to inheritance tax. One was exactly what you've said. The other, and sectorially, we're going to see massive problems as a result of this, I suspect, is inheritance tax reliefs for people owning businesses, and very importantly, for farmers. And I think we've got a farming industry that, yes, they own a lot of land, but a lot of farmers don't see it as actually owning the land. They're just custodians for the next generation. And all of a sudden, for actually not large farms going forwards, they're going to end up having to pay inheritance tax when they die and pass it on to the next generation. There will be planning that's done to mitigate that, but that's going to impact future generation of farmers in particular, I would have thought.
Yeah, indeed. You mentioned property, so it's stamp duties going up on second homes. That looked quite a big jump, didn't it?
A couple of percentage points on that, yeah. And then they're sort of changing some of the other thresholds on stamp duty. I think, you know, across the board, it was, well, apart from theoretically a one pence drop in a pint, which I think is going to be more than swallowed by the cost of national minimum wage and employers' national insurance increases, it was pretty much taxes up across the board, which anyone with any common sense knew that taxes had to rise. The question is, how were they going to do it? And depending upon your political background or stance, what was considered fair?
Yeah. Just on the property market, because that is so important, isn't it, to our economy. I think there's still the Help to Buy or Help to Save is continuing, isn't it? Because I think that was quite...
Help to Save, yeah.
Initiative. What, anything else around the property market to look out for?
I think one of the big announcements that she made, and to be honest, most property developers are seriously needing it, is money being put into the planning system in order to free up the planning system. I think, you know, if you've got a piece of land, or you're looking at a piece of land and you want planning on it nowadays, if you achieve that planning within 2 years and you haven't gone through four or more planning inspectors, you've done very well.
Yeah.
And as a sector, you know, we need more houses in this country. That's just a fact of life. And therefore, anything that can be done to try and free up the planning sector, I think hopefully will be positive, because it means that people can get on and build.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the last couple really that I picked out, obviously this was part of the manifesto, but VAT is now going to go on, or is confirmed will go on to private schools from January. I think there's one or two lawsuits being taken out against that, isn't there? So
yeah.
Any comment on that?
It's a political positioning, which I think Labour for many, many years, I can remember going back 30 or 40 years, them talking about sort of looking at doing it, and now they've actually done it. Will it raise revenue? It's debatable. I think officially they say that it will, but it all comes down to how many people leave private schools and actually go into the state system, as to whether there's a net gain and how much the size of that net gain is. But I think it's more a political position. The issue that you've got is, put politics to one side, there's a lot of private schools that are there for looking after children with SEND needs. And all of a sudden, they're going to get caught into this structure. And therefore, you know, it's the law of unintended consequences that concerns me from that point of view.
Yeah, absolutely. And finally, on the environment, there's some tax relief on electric cars, personally, isn't there? 100% tax allowance in the first year. And then I think the other way, petrol cars will be taxed more. Did you pick anything else up around the environment in this particular?
It was fairly quiet with regards to the environment, I think, as a whole. One of the tax reliefs they're looking at was for dealing with hazardous land and all of that type of stuff, but they're just going to get a review of that to see if the tax relief works and achieves what it was meant to do. But I think it was fairly quiet on the whole.
Stay with us then, Rob, and we'll talk some more after this.